Oh, sit down. I'm blushing. Jeez. Or is it just hot up here? Both? Both. I just brought a little extra reading for you today. We're going to read. Just joking. We are going to look at some figurines. At least this one. By the way, that's not mine. It's Pastor Lanny's. Don't tell him I took it. I said don't tell him. Jeez. Pete, you were playing in the first service and then you evaporated. And I made a comment, which I'm going to do again for your benefit. Being a drummer, okay, I get what it's about. You know, they put us in a box, try to control us, you know. Or it's just we need more deodorant, you know what I mean? So, and I can say that because my son is also a drummer. And he plays at a very large church down in Nashville occasionally. And he recently was telling me that because we are in that booth, that those guys up there can help all of us, including the person who's playing, giving us more liberty because we don't have to be so careful about playing because they control the volume levels. So it really does help. Turn your Bibles to the beginning. All right, Genesis, right in the very, very beginning. For those of you who may not be familiar with it, it's just past first couple of pages. All right, Genesis chapter 1. Today I'm going to be speaking on releasing the vision. Releasing the vision. And I believe, based on what the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about this time, Pastor Lanny and I have been talking about this time today for some time. In fact, some of what we talked about is what's been happening in your leadership as well, and how there is a strategic plan, a strategic movement of vision in this congregation through its leadership. So there are things that the Holy Spirit is doing in the life of the church. So we may touch on that somewhat, but mostly I believe God wants you, the church, to hear this message to break you free, to give you liberty in your individual lives. And when you are liberated, is not the church liberated? Right? Okay. So when each individual is liberated, then we are all liberated together. So then, let's turn to Genesis and take a look real quick at verse 3 in chapter 1. God says this, "Let there be light, and there was light." Let there be light, and there was light. Now, that anticipates that something is going to happen. Would you agree with me? Okay. So, God saw before it could be seen. Hello? The light wasn't on yet. Right? So, God saw before it could be seen. So he said, for us to see, let there be light so we could see. So we have to start out the idea that God, when he envisions, then he reveals so we can also envision. So you have to start with the start, and that is God has enlivened or enlightened or given some of you that moment when you saw something. And I want to correct something. The Holy Spirit just said, no, not some of you, every single one of you. No exceptions. How many of you would confirm this? Before you accepted the Lord, before you accepted His grace, while you were yet sinners, the Bible says, okay? Did God not speak to you? Didn't He speak to you? Okay. Now, sometimes we ignored it, but no different than ignoring Him now. Am I right? Don't sit there and pretend you don't. You know? How did Abram become Abraham? Because the voice of the Lord spoke to a man who was a heathen, and the man heard the voice of the Lord as a heathen, and became unheathenized. Right? Am I right? Come on. I don't think I've ever said that before. I'm going to have to listen to this disc just to hear what I just said. Unheathenized. But reality is this. God saw what He told Abraham He saw so that Abraham could begin to get a glimpse into what God saw. Now, turn with me from Genesis to the book of Romans. To the book of Romans, chapter 4. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing here. He's speaking about Abraham. He's speaking about this envisioning of Abraham's offspring. And in other places in here, it says they wouldn't be able to be numbered. They'd be like the stars, etc., etc. But here's the really, I think, neat thing about this. Watch this. In chapter 4, verse 17. God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Now notice the verbiage here. It doesn't say as though they are. It says as though they were. So here's the perspective. God is in pre-light. Say it that way. In Genesis. He sees the thing that He wants us to see. So He says, let there be light. So then there becomes light. This passage says that that thing that you and I think is dead, unmovable, incapable, God doesn't care. He doesn't care. Doesn't matter to Him because He speaks of things, He calls out those things that are dead, He calls them back to life again. So now, when God calls something to life, it says, it sort of explains that statement. It says, and here's how it works. God, in the situation here, knowing what the situation is, God, from here, calls back to it as if it were. Not as if it is, but He looks back on it from the position of pre-event. Now somebody in the first service said, "Whoo, you're getting mystical on us." This is who we serve. It doesn't matter if it's dead because He can bring life to it. It doesn't matter if it appears to be in the dark because He can bring light to it. But when He thinks of it, He doesn't think of it as if He's got to work toward it happening. He is here looking back on it happened, as the Scripture says, as if it already were. Because it is. Hey, believe it. He thinks of it, it already is. From my era, that would have been a right on. Now, go with me to Luke chapter 4. I'm going to look at Jesus. Because Jesus comes from the beginning, pre-light. Okay? I know you're turning your pages. Pay attention while you do that. You can multitask. He comes from pre-light. He steps as the light into the future. He is born, and we're about to celebrate the season of His birth. So He is born into the world, physically born. Now, He grows, and then He comes to this point. He walks into the temple, and He walks into the synagogue, and He picks up a passage, or a scroll. As He opens the scroll, He reads this about Himself, having been written in the heart of God pre-light, before it was said by and written down by the prophet, this was going to happen. Because the Word of God tells us that before the beginning are foundations of the world. Isn't that true? Okay. So before the foundations, before God set it in order, this is what was happening in the heart of God. So you fast forward to Jesus standing in a synagogue with a scroll in hand. This is really good. Because watch this. He reads his mission statement. For those of you in the world, you know, you're out in the work world. I don't mean the worldly world, although some of you may be in the worldly world too. I have to move around in that world too. So, in your work world, there are many of you who have probably been part of focus groups or design groups or whatever, and you've written down mission statements, and you put them in beautiful things up on the wall, and then people walk by them in the hallway. It only takes one generation away from a focus group for everybody to forget what the mission statement is. But he wasn't reading a mission statement to just inform the folks that were there. He was saying, this is on the horizon. This is why I'm here. And I'm about to begin the first step. In fact, I believe this was the first step. So he stands with the scroll. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the what? Blind, those who do not have the light. Those who have not yet seen or cannot now see. To release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now there's lots here we could peel this onion, you know. Books have been written about it. Many sermons have been preached. Studies have been done. So there's a lot embodied in what we're reading here. But what I'm about to say really comes down to this. That what he's showing you is an example of you. You have a mission. And he's just being the model of the mission that he has for you. If you read in the Bible farther, it will let you know you are also anointed. You are also gifted. You also have been given vision. You, some of you, even pre your new birth, knew there was a knowing in your knower. So there's something God is up to in you. Now, Jesus says this as his mission statement. Now, let's have a little interactivity here, okay? He says he's anointed. We're anointed. But in fact, the Apostle Paul, at one point when he's writing, he says, out of the grace given to me. What he's saying is, out of the giftedness or gracing is the better language for it, out of the gracing or the gifting that I have from the Holy Spirit, it's out of that that I speak to you. It's because of it, in fact. And later he says, I can't not do it because it's who I am. It's my fabric. It's my makeup. You know, blue's blue because it's blue. You are what you are because you are, because He designed you the way you are. And as one who has accepted Christ, He by His anointing has anointed you. So when you look at this passage, it is a model of what He's saying about us as well. We are anointed. Now watch this. It says, He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Let's talk about this for just a moment. What in the world do you think He means by releasing or proclaiming freedom to prisoners? What does it mean? Somebody, get us started. What does it mean? This is what's going on in my head. Da, 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 da. So, what did we say? Deliverance. Deliverance from? What?
Whatever.
Well, let's name some whatevers. Just help us out, okay? What?
Depression.
Alcohol. What?
Bondage.
What kind of bondage? Any kind. That's too simple. What kind of bondage? Stress. The bondage of stress. I can't act because I'm in bondage to stress. And I'm always talking about being under stress. In fact, I've been under some. I've grown out of my haircut. I barbered for 7 years, so I know from whence I speak. My father would say, who barbered and owned a shop for 35 years, I've been sleeping too close to the headboard. Don't know, but you know. What stress? What kind of stress are you talking about? Mental stress, physical stress, financial stress. Any kind of stress holds you captive because it keeps you from what? From moving on, being free to go to the next level, the next step. The thing that God might whisper into your spirit, you're bound or in bondage or you are a prisoner. You are in the joint and you don't know it. And what he was saying is, I've come to tell you not bad news. I've come to declare to you good news. This good news is that you can be free. You can be free from that stuff. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to encounter it. It means that you don't have a requirement to be bound by it. Okay? Now, those of you who have been believers for quite a long time, wouldn't you agree you still encounter these things? You know, it's silly for us to act like we're not going to encounter it. He didn't tell us he was going to deliver us from ever encountering it. What he's telling us, he's delivering us from the bondage of it. In fact, to be able to recognize it in ourselves helps us to recognize it in others so that we can do what he said we are also equipped to do, and that is to take good news to others so that they no longer are also in bondage. Now, let's look at let's go out. See, remember, we're going to go out from where it's proclaimed, and we're going to look back on it. So what does a released captive, what does that new person, what do they look like? They're jubilant. Somebody said they're loved or they can love. People who are in bondage, their hurt causes them to hurt. Someone while I was speaking once said something to me. They said, you know, that was really good. You started out with great scriptures in the beginning, and then you got into sort of spiritual psychology. And you know, what it tells me is that person is hurting. And for them to have to tell me means they want to be confident enough to confront the speaker. Okay, ew is right. It just tells you that that person has a need, that they're insecure. So they are in the bondage of what? What do you think they're in bondage to? Fear. They're insecure. They're afraid. They're afraid they're not significant. And yet they are. Jesus died for them. They're significant. They don't need to confront. They don't need to do that. I've seen people in customer service just go off on someone else. Why do they need to do that? Because it makes them powerful. I can tell you where to go and what for, because I can. No, it's because you're weak and because you need to feel important. And a person who has customer service training on the backside learns that it's not about them, it's about them. Now, if they've done something to foul things up, then just admit it and move on. You're right, sir. I blew it. Now pummel me. There's so much here. Release the oppressed, proclaim the Lord's favor. Hey, folks, listen. Now, if you don't get anything else out of this, He likes you. And I use the word like on purpose, because I know that He loves you, but some of us don't think He likes us. Because we did something yesterday or this morning, or we spoke sharply on the way to church. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but I know you're here. I've driven to church too, by the way. I've gone to fellowship group, you know. And the worst drive is from home to fellowship group. Because the enemy is in the car. Must be somewhere. I don't, you know. Some of the worst drives are the Sunday drives on the way to church. The Lord has given you vision. He has. There are things in your life. Sometimes it's just the simplest thing. But because of bondage to something, some oppression, some sense of depression, some sense that's there, some voice from your past, some parent, some brother, some sister, some boss, someone, some teacher, some significant person to you made a comment, maybe out of their hurtful day, and you happen to be the cat to kick. And yet, you carry the bruises of having been kicked, and it holds you in bondage. So every time the Lord prompts you to the new thing that's going to release you from the oppression to the freedom and liberty and the enjoyment of that, that voice comes out of your past and speaks to you and tells you, who do you think you are? This is great with coworkers. They do this. What if you are in line, you are growing, you've gotten more education, you've studied, you've done things that helps prepare you for that next position. But your coworkers around you do not want you to do that. So what do? They stand on your rope. If you let them, then are you in bondage? Yes. Because you're allowing someone else to keep you from fulfilling the same thing that God put in you as a desire of your heart. Now, there are those that would be cautious about this. I am not cautious about this presentation whatsoever, because here's how it works. The Bible says to us, God will give us the desires of our heart. Sometimes people misunderstand that and think, oh, wow, that means if I want to... I said this to somebody here last time. We were privately just talking up front after service. I said, yes, I can see it. It's a seal gray Porsche. Not only have I seen it, I've driven it. Now, you know, I don't need it. I don't even really want it. But if you're going to talk about it, might as well be a Porsche, right? I mean, you don't need a Porsche. Nobody needs one. You know, I had a wreck, totaled my car, so I need a Porsche. Sign the check, sir. Just sign the check. That's not it. It's not God giving you a check carte blanche. Oh, you come up with a dream and just speak it. And it'll be... No, He's saying, I am going to give you a desire. And I'm going to massage that desire within you. And it's going to be stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And some people misunderstand, because they think that it's got to be me, because it's a better thing. And because I live in the world of humility, you know, I've got to be humble. You've heard about the guy that got the humble ribbon? But he couldn't wear it. Some of you will get that on the way home. Somebody went, see what you're doing. Because we live in this world, particularly sometimes in the church, where it's not right. It seems to run cross-grain, but God gives us a desire. In fact, when it talks about those who are growing in ministry, it's a right thing for them to have initiative to grow in ministry. Because it's a good thing. You desire to do good for others. What in the world? Why in the world would God want to stop that vision? He's given it to you. Now, if it's all focused on you, maybe you want to question that. But God loves you too. Don't think more highly of yourself than what? So you ought to, but you ought not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. See, the problem is many of us don't think highly enough of ourselves, and yet we are the redeemed of the Lord and the King and Prince of this world, and the heavens laid His life down for us. Ephesians, you don't need to turn, just listen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'm moving the pulpit just in case some of you thought your medication had kicked in. Ephesians 2:10 says it this way. I told you this earlier. Here's where the word says it. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, some time ago, I saw someone do something similar to what I'm about to show you. And the Lord has just continued to build this image in me. When God gives you a vision, it's like this. It's big. It's big compared to you. And I forgot I was going to get a little tiny, like plastic army soldier, you know, about that tall. Because when the vision comes, what do you feel? Small, right. What else do you feel other than small? Inadequate. What? Inadequate. Say it again. Inadequate. Okay. Well, hello, you are inadequate. That's why you feel that way. It's like one of my kids when they were little, they go, well, duh, Dad. Why do we need Him if we're all adequate? All right, so now, the vision comes. It's bigger than you. This is God-sized stuff. It's bigger than you. And you're really close because when He gives it to you, it's like kerplunk. And you go, boom. And I usually think like this. You missed. It's that guy. Cannot be me. Surely cannot be me. Not going there. I can't handle it. I'm not equipped. I'm inadequate. I've never done that before. I will fail even at trying. Because surely, God, you know, I've really failed before. So I've proven to you. So would you just shut this thing down, pull the curtain over it? I don't want to look at it anymore. But then all He has to do, I love this about Him, and I hate this about Him. I'm conflicted, what can I say? All He has to do is whisper it. And all He has to do is whisper it once. Because when I say, what did you say? Because He knows I heard Him. Hey, if I'm not telling the truth, get up and leave at the end of service. The reason it's funny is because we know it's close to home. It is our lives. It's how we think. It's how we react. And none of us are insulated from it. We don't get a vision to go, hallelujah. Every person that I've ever known that's walked into greatness has faced this situation. Now, what happens between here and here? What gets in here? What? Well, say it louder. Doubt? Unbelief? Fear? Okay, somebody else, she's taking the floor. She's apparently been there before, or she's read my notes. Not fair. Not fair. I don't know whose pen this is. It's thank you. Now, what else? What else gets between you and this? Time. Time commitment. I can use that as a great excuse. I don't have time. Now, God says, you know, what was I thinking? Of course you don't have time. I should have asked, consulted. Now, can he see? Can he see? I just want to make sure. I didn't know. I hadn't paid any attention in the first service. Can he see the vision? No. Why? Why? What? Stuff's in the way. Let me ask you something. Is the stuff bigger than the vision? No. Does it look like it's bigger than the vision? Can he still see the vision? No. Have you been there before? Yes. Thank you for being honest. Because here's what's happening. Right here, this is what we hate. Isn't that right? We detest this. This is fear, anxiety, depression. It's not having right skills. Give you an example. I've sat down with someone in my office who would say to me, Pastor, you know, this opportunity is at work and yada, yada, yada. And they tell me all about this great thing, this blah, 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 blah. What do you think? And I'm thinking, I've seen you with people. You stink. I mean, some people stink. Some people wear, I know one, I am not stretching this. I know it will sound like I'm an exaggerator. I almost said I'm not an evangelist, but that didn't seem to fit. You know, right? No. Evangelists. Did I say that out loud? I did, didn't I? Yeah, okay. All right. Focus. Focus, Randy, focus. This lady drove onto the parking lot. She was a good 40 feet away from us with her car windows up, and we could smell her perfume. Yeah, I mean, it's really good perfume, apparently. Now, if you're in a conversation with this person, how long can you be in a conversation with her? Not long. In fact, sometimes she would come into my office. Here's how I handled it. She'd come into my office, sit down. She had some paperwork. She was going to share some things with me. I would get up out from my desk. I'd say, I'll be right back. Because when she came in, she closed the door. So I get up, go to the door, open the door. On the way out, there's a little fan switch right here. I'd switch on the fan. I'd go to the restroom, which was across the hall. Then I'd get out of the restroom, go back across the hall, leave the door open. And even still, it was hard for me to be in that office with her while we were trying to work. Now, how many have ever sung in a choir? There's nothing like having that person stand in front of you when you go, hallelujah. Now, that may not seem like a people skill, but it is. Because if people around you kind of shy away from you, it doesn't matter how skilled you are. You need to up your people skills. Now, someone may need to share with you, and someone has, by the way, shared with this woman for her benefit. It benefits others, but she can relate now better to others because of a very simple thing. I think there's probably something wrong with her ability to smell, so she wears more and more until she smells it, but it's so strong to others, they push her away. Maybe it's not the perfume. Maybe it's someone's attitude. Maybe they use words. Maybe it's terminology. It could be attitude that they communicate with other people, and they need to know that they need to communicate differently. We were talking earlier about people and their personalities. When you understand your own personality, that's one thing. But when you understand the personalities of others, it helps you to lean toward their personality and their communication style. So they listen. They can hear you. They won't pay attention to you if you're not speaking their language, so to speak. But if you do, if you learn to speak their language, then they're not only are they ready to listen, they want to listen. They want to work with you. So there may be things like that that you need to learn. And by the way, here's what this thing really is. It looks like a problem, wouldn't you say? It looks like a problem. But it's really not. About 25 years or so ago, I was in a meeting where a guy said, "I used to see things like this as problems, but now I see them as a challenge." And the reason I see them as a challenge is because I have been provided by God the ability to go around, under, through, whatever, to get to what He has in store for me. He speaks of this as if it already was. It's already there. So if you allow this to get in your way, at whatever degree, and you see it as a problem, you can't see the vision. But what you don't understand, and this is the heart of the message, is that this thing is a bookcase. And when you turn the bookcase around, what you find is that this is the school of vision. That on the shelves of this bookcase are some reading that you need to do about people skills. There's a DVD that you need to learn how to be a better sharer of God's Word. You know, it's very seldom in my work environment I ever even bring it up. And yet I have people come to me all the time and ask me questions. In fact, a fellow just the other day said to me, a Jewish gentleman said to me the other day, "I really like how you pastor." This is in a work environment. I'm not pastoring anybody. He chose that language, not me. I don't think I've ever used that language in his presence. What I'm saying is on the shelves of this bookcase, there are some places on there, places you need to go to learn some things. There are some people's names there. People you need to sit down and talk with and ask some questions and listen. And don't just ask questions. Get a piece of paper, at least a 3x5 card, and make some notes. Value their time. On here, there's a souvenir from a place where you needed to learn to go and chill out and relax. Because some of you, this is a problem. Because you're so toward the thing that you have not rested. And the lack of rest, the lack of peace in your spirit means that you bark at people around you. And you don't know that you're kicking the cat, but you're kicking the cat. And it may be your kids, your wife, your husband. This has to be embraced, not rejected. This is the school that will allow you to be prepared for the thing that God sees you being. But if you see it as a problem, it's just in the way. And you knew you were inadequate anyway. So it allows you to just slough it off and say, "God doesn't know what He's talking about. That can't possibly be me." And yet God is saying, "You have the capacity for the thing that I've told you. But on the way there, I'm going to take you through some things that you can learn. By the way, when you increase your value, you increased you and your value to others around you. Without raising hands, there are people in this room who have recently been looking for employment. And when you look at the information, it says computer skills required A, B, C, and D. I didn't learn to type until just a little over 3 years ago. Just a few weeks ago was the first time I've ever used Excel in my life. It's really cool. I was putting together a schedule manually with a pencil and an eraser. Now I can go click, 8, and it magically shows up. And not only does it show up there, it tallies it at the end. Well, it calls it a sum, but it does the summing at the end. And then down here it does it again, and in the middle there's another one. It's like, this is amazing stuff. How many of you use Excel every day in your work? How many of you... Oh, no, no, no. Keep your hands up. It's important. How many of you knew how to use Excel before you learned how to use Excel? Thank you for having paid attention to the question. Because you see, if you see it in the requirements of a job posting and you don't have it, then it's a problem. But if you see it as a challenge, then the thing that God is designing for you or has designed for you says, I need to learn that program. Some of you, He's called you to do something and it has this spiritual nature to it. There's something about teaching His Word, and yet you are inadequate because you don't have the background. You haven't done the studying. I hadn't either. But then I did. You start where you are. You can't be here before you were here. And God said He's prepared works for you to do before the beginning, before you were born, that He intends for you. And these are good works. Remember, we just read it. These are good works, meaning that it's not just good for you. It's good works because lives are going to be changed because of what you learn here. But if you see it as a problem, it will just be that. It will be in the way. And if you take on a victim mentality, you will use this as an excuse to not become this. So what He's saying to you today, some of you, I see it on your faces. If I asked you right now to take a piece of paper and write down the thing He said, you can write it down. But even more than that, you can write down what's here. Because you know what you need to do because He's already whispered what you need to do. Now, if you don't know what you need to do, the purpose of Him sending a teacher, an exhorter, someone who will encourage you, is to say, there's someone you need to talk to, and you need to ask them the question, here's what I've seen, what do I need to do and become in order to be the thing that I've seen? This is what I want. God has given me a desire for this. Remember what we read before. God gives us the desire of our heart. Now, when He gives you this desire, and then the thing that you've desired is fulfilled, yeah, I mean, wow. The thing you desired, remember, your desire changed. It changed from this thing to this thing that God gave you, and now you want this. And yeah, you encounter the problem, but then you see that it's the school of vision. And the things that you learn here, you will be able immediately, you'll be able to see it in someone else and help them get the thing, move toward the thing. The vision, the dream, if you will. And God has set you strategically, or He's getting you ready to place you strategically in a situation that will use this in order to help someone else who's here move to here. So this doesn't exist. And when it happens again, you'll know, not a problem. Now I know what I need to learn. Now I know what I need to become. Now I know, because God has intended this. Bow with me in prayer. I once heard it said, it's not what you are that holds you back. It's what you think you aren't. Lord, we are, but we don't know it. We don't understand it. And you've told us that I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So it isn't a problem. Lord, once we understand, it's really not even a challenge. It's the path. It's the roadway to becoming and having the things that we need to have and become in order to walk in the vision that you have for us. God, help us have the courage in that moment when it looks like an overwhelming problem, or we hear the voices of someone from the past, but yet in the present, in the moment, we know, we have the sense that you're standing off ahead of us, looking back, saying, come over here where I am. Continue to walk with me. Lord, one thing I heard you say that you want me to say to these people is that they are to be careful not to allow their comfort, not to allow their comfort to be an obstacle toward the vision. Lord, this is a comfortable place. This is a great place. You're worshipped. Your presence is here. But help. So that we don't allow the comfortable place to keep us from becoming the thing that you want these to become, that you see them becoming. There is a community around them that is awaiting them to come with the skills that they've learned, with the heart that they gained, and the humility and the attitude that they will now be. And the person who was haughty before has now a humble spirit. And someone will see that difference. And they'll say, what has happened to you? Someone who was afraid of learning a skill now has it. And someone will say, how did you do that? And at that moment, we can proclaim liberty to the captive and release the oppressed. We ask it, Lord, in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
As is our habit, we always honor those who have come to share the word. So we're going to be taking up a special offering now. Just make your checks out to Prag, and we will pass every penny on to Brother Randy, and thanks for his ministry and his service. Do we have any prophetic words, ladies? Nothing special? Okay. Of course, the altar is always open. If you want to settle something with the Lord, if you have a need, please come forward, and we'll have someone pray with you. If you have anything you want to ask Brother Randy, he'll stick around for a while. Just join with me while we pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time with you, for the word that you have given us, for the messenger you have sent to us. We pray that you would set us free to find the vision that you have called each and every one of us for. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.